Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Psachim Chafei. We're on Chav Dalet Amid Beis, 11 lines from the bottom of the Amid. And we're picking up our discussion regarding Isuri Achila and Isuri Hana, so things which are also to be eaten or to derive benefit from. Malchus will only apply if he should partake in these things kederech, in the conventional manner, in the normal way. But if he eats shelo kederech achila, or has ana, shelo kederech ana, for instance, he'll eat the raw fat or place it on his wound, in that case, no malchus is applied. Says Abai, there are some exceptions to this rule. Amar Abai, 11 lines from the bottom, hakol moedim, all would agree, bekelaya kerem, when it comes to kelaya kerem, so you have this plant, which was planted in the vineyard, it becomes asur ba'achila, even asur ba'hana. So when it comes to that type of isur, over there, shaloikin alein afilu shaloikin derchan asun. Malchus will apply even if you should derive benefit in an abnormal way. My timer, why is this different? Mishum, the like sivbu achila, because there is no term achila employed there. So yeah, when the Torah speaks about don't eat it, so don't eat it, and sometimes don't eat it can apply to hana as well, as we learned earlier in the Gemara. Achila implies conventional manner, the normal way. But by Kalaya Kerem, where there's no Lashon Achila, Rashi will bring the Pasuk, Pen Tigdash, which teaches us that it's Asur, Asur B'Achila B'Hana. Since there's no Lashon Achila used, it doesn't have to be in the normal way. Any type of hana would be Asur. Continues the Gemara. Meisvei b'avakashim ha'braisa, which would indicate otherwise. Ise ben Yehuda Eimer, menayin lebasar b'cholav shu asar. From where do we know that basar b'cholav is asar? So if you cook milk and meat together, how do you know it's asar? Asar b'achila, asar b'ana. What is the makar? Nemar kan ki am kadosh ata. So over here, meaning by basar b'cholav, the pasuk says, you're a holy nation, and the pasuk concludes, you're not meant to cook milk and meat together. So the pasuk uses the lashon ki am kadosh ata. And elsewhere, v'nemar lahalon, elsewhere by treifa, the pasuk also uses this type of term, v'anshei kodesh tiyunli. And the pasuk there is speaking about the isser of eating treifa. So we draw a parallel. Mala halam asur, just like over there by treifa, it's asur ba'achila. Afkan asur, likewise over here, by basur b'chalav, there's an isur achila. So through this gzeirah shava, we learn isur achila, because treifa is asur ba'achila. Bahano menayin, what about the isur to derive benefit? From where do we know that basur b'chalav is asur ba'ano as well? Amres kavachomer, you can draw that from a kavachomer. Uma orla shloi nev de ba'avira, since we find that orla, although no avera was done, he planted a fruit tree. There's no avera done in the actual planting. Yeah, the first 3 years, you're asked to eat it. But there's no avera done in the actual planting. Still, we say asura b'hano. One cannot even have ano from the erla fruit. Basar b'chalav, shenev de b'avera. So basar b'chalav, where an avera was committed. One can't cook basar b'chalav. So since there was an avera done, einay din shei asur b'hano, of course, there would be an isur hano as well. Let's see Rashi inside, 4 lines from the bottom. So Rashi begins kelaya kerem, ki ksiv pein tigda shamaleya. So this is when one plants some type of seed, a vegetable inside a vineyard. Pein tigdash implies that it's asur. The mashmalo senam imenu, because kedusha means it's meant to be separate. Sometimes it can have a positive connotation. Sometimes it just means keep away from it. Actually, in a negative connotation. So pentigdash here means it's usr. It's meant to be kept separate. To mashmalay senem imenu el tisrefenu, burn it. Upen, pentigdash, the word pen, lavhu. It's a lav, you're not meant to have ano. So how do we know that basar b'chalav, that's the braisa. Now, how do we know basar b'chalav is asur b'achila and b'ano? So we say, just as the treifa is asur, says Rashi, shu asur b'achila, likewise basar b'chalav, which is connected to treifa through that hekesh, Ki Am Kodesh, which says by Basar B'Cholav, and Anshei Kodesh by Treif. We connect the two terms of Kedusha to each other. This is Egzer Shava, just as over there, the Asa B'Achila, here as well. What about Isra Hamna? We learn that from a Kal V'Chomer. Since we find the Orla, although there was no Avera done, says Rashi, Shalei Nevda by Avera, B'nei Tiyusa, by its planting, still it's Asar B'Hana. How do we know it's Asar B'Hana? We actually learned this earlier, because the Pasuk says, Areilim Lo Yachel, and the Gemara and the Drasha there, that it includes Hana as well, so that's a given. Likewise, Basar B'Cholav, certainly where there's an Avera done, Basar B'Cholav Shalei Nevda by Avera, says Rashi, Kishe Bishlei, when he cooked the Basar B'Cholav together, because Minat Torah, Basar B'Cholav is only Asar through cooking. So he cooked it, and that created a new entity of Basar B'Cholav, V'Avar Lav Alav Loi Sevashal, and he was over on the Lav Loi Sevashal, certainly would be Asar B'Hana. So we know Isra Achila from the Gzer Shava, and Hana from the Kal V'Chaim. Continues the Gemara. How could you compare to Arla? Arla seems to have a Chumrah, a more stringent element that Basar B'Cholav does not have. Mala Arla, says the Gemara, Shekein Lehoysa L'Shasa Kosher. Arla seems to have a chumrah because, you know, there was no point in time when the Arla was mutter. This Arla fruit was and always was asr. As soon as it began budding and growing, it was asr. Toimar b'basar b'cholav shoyse l'shasa kosher, as opposed to basar b'cholav, which had a shasa kosher, it had a point in time that it was mutter. Rashi says, before you place the meat into the milk, it was mutter. So since originally, this item was mutter, perhaps it's not as stringent. It wasn't created and generated the Isser. So perhaps you can't compare it to Erla and derive Isser Hano from there. Says the Gemara, Chametz bePesach Echech. You can prove from Chametz and Pesach. Shehoyso l'shas HaKosher. That although there as well, there was a Shas HaKosher, there was a point in time when the Chametz was mutter before Pesach. And it's still Asur B'Hana. We learned this earlier, of course, that Erla, that the Chametz on Pesach is Asur B'Hana. So likewise, the Basar B'Cholav, despite the fact that it had a Shasa Kosher, it can still have Isra Hana. Ma lo Chametz b'Pesach, Shekin Anush Karis. How could you compare it to Chametz on Pesach? Over there, there's a Chumra that is not present by Basar B'Cholav. You know what it is? There's Karis involved. Toimar b'Basar B'Cholav, Shein Anush Karis. As opposed to Basar B'Cholav, where there's no curse punishment involved. So how can you learn from Chametz on Pesach? Kilei HaKerem Yechichu. So now we'll go over to Kilei HaKerem to prove that curse is not a determinant. Why? She'ein Onesh Karis, because over there, despite that, there's no Onesh Karis, V'asur B'Hana, and there is Isra Hana, as Rashi brought, because Tigdash teaches us it's completely off limits. So we use the combination, the combined sources, the Erla, the Kilei HaKerem, and the Chametz, to make our point, to prove that Basar B'Cholav as well will be Asur B'Hana. Because if you can't learn directly from Erla, let's also apply the Chametz. And if that's problematic, let's apply Kilei HaKerem. So through all together, they will provide a source for the Isra Hana Basar B'Cholav. Okay, so this is the Bryce. Now we're going to use this as a Kash on Abaye. Abaye was the one who said that when it comes to Kilei HaKerem, Malkus will apply even if one derives Hana Shaloi Kederach. Ve'im Isa, if that's true that Kilei HaKerem will apply even Shaloi Kederach, Nifrich, the Gemara can now refute the connection here and say, well, you can't learn from Kilei HaKerem to Basar B'Cholav. You know why? Mal Kilei HaKerem, Shekem Loi Kinalein, Afilu Shaloi Kederach Hanasa. How can we compare it to Kilei HaKerem, where there's Malkus even Shaloi Kederach, as opposed to Basar B'Cholav? So this would seem to be a Kashon Abaye. If you say that Kilei HaKerem is applicable even Shaloi Kederach, then you can go and draw a distinction between Kilei HaKerem, where it's Shaloi Kederach, and Basar B'Cholav, where it would seem that there would be no Malkus Shaloi Kederach. Says the Gemara of Abaye, he'll respond, Taimer b'mai, as opposed to what? So what are you proposing? You're saying a pircha. Well, you can't derive from Kilei HaKerem because there's Malkus even Shaloi Kederach. As opposed to what? Taimer b'mai. As opposed to what? Taimer b'Basar B'Cholav. As opposed to Basar B'Cholav. Shein loy kenolav ela derech anasay, that malchus only applies to kederech. So that's your percha. If indeed what I said is true, that klai akerem will have malchus even shloy kederech. So how could you compare? Perhaps klai akerem is more stringent because malchus applies even shloy kederech, as opposed to basa b'cholav, where malchus will only apply derech anasay if you consume it and have anot in a normal manner. Is that what you're suggesting? Atu basa b'cholav, achilik sivbe? Atu basa b'cholav, is that true? Is that true that basa b'cholav will only be asr, only have malchus, derech achila? You're assuming that as a given, as a fact. The Torah doesn't employ the word achila by basa b'cholav either. Right? The Gemara learned the entire issa from basa b'cholav. Well, number one, the achila, because we connected it to Trefa, through that Zerah Shava. But within the context of Basa B'chalav itself, we don't find that the Torah uses the word Achila. So perhaps Basa B'chalav as well will apply even Shalei Kederach. So you're right. In both cases, Kalei Kerem and Basa B'chalav, the Malchus applies even Shalei Kederach if he consumes it in an abnormal manner. So there's no more Pircha here. Yeah, just as Kalei Kerem will have even Shalei Kederach, Basa B'chalav as well. So they're both very similar and can be connected and learn from each other. V'idach t'kamoisif lo. And the other Madama who asked the Kasha on Abaye from this Braisa and said, well, according to you, Abaye, that Kalei Kerem will have even Shalei Kederach, so how could you compare it to Basa B'chalav where it only applies Kederach? That Madama will hold. V'idach t'kamoisif lo. Savar he held. L'hachi k'gomar m'nevela. That's why Basa B'chalav was derived from Nevela, and that Pasuk, Rashi actually says that Nevela is Lavdavka, it means Mitrefa. We learned it from Trefa. Mad Nevela Derech Hana'asa, just as over there, the Malchus only applies Derech Hana'a, because the Pasuk there certainly uses the word Achila. Pasuk says he's not meant to eat. Trefa Lo Yisoychelu. Af Basa B'chalav Derech Hana'asa. Likewise, Basa B'chalav is only Asr, is only Malchus when it's Derech Hana'asa. So according to that Shita, meaning the Madama who asked on Abaye from this Braisa, he says, well, if Kalei Kerem is even Shalei Kederach, how couldn't the Braisa compare Basa B'chalav, which would only apply Kederach? He learned that, yeah, Basa B'chalav only applies Kederach because Basa B'chalav is learned from Treifa, where the Pasuk uses the word Achila, which implies only Kederach. So likewise, Basa B'chalav will only apply Kederach. So how could you compare it to Kalayim, where it also applies Shalei Kederach? Ve'abaye. However, Abaye will respond, no. L'hachay l'kosav achil b'gufa. You're right. Although we learn the Isra Achila by Basa B'chalav from Trefa, but at the end of the day, l'hachay l'kosav achil b'gufa. That's why the Torah does not actually state the word Achila in the context of Basa B'chalav. Lo'ymar shalikin olav avlu shalei kederach anasay. To teach us. Yeah, that Malchus by Basa B'chalav applies even Shalei Kederach. So they're both equal. Basa B'chalav and Kalei Kerem in both cases. Malchus applies even Shalei Kederach. So that explains why and how we can learn one from the other in this price. And the point is that where the Torah uses the word Achila, that indicates Kederach. Achila means the normal manner, the normal way of eating, the conventional method. But when there's no Achila employed, for instance, by Kalei Kerem, or as Abaye maintains by Basa B'chalav, there's no Achila, so any form of Hana, you're enjoying, you're ingesting, you're deriving benefit from this item. That's what's Asr. Regardless of the way, of the manner and method you're employing to eat it or to derive benefit. So according to Abaye, whether Kalei Kerem or Basa B'chalav, the Malchus applies even Shalei Kederach Achila or Hana. Says the Gemara. Okay, so we derived the Isser Hana of Basa B'chalav from this Kal V'chomer. It was actually a joint limud from Arla, Chometz Pesach, and Kalei Kerem. For Lifrich, why can't we use a Pirch as follows? Mal Kalei Kerem, Shekein Lo Yehoi Shalei Sha'asa Kosher. Kalei Kerem is more stringent, it's more severe. You know why? Because there was no Shas HaKosher. This plant, this thing that grew, this fruit, vegetable that grew inside the Klei Kerem, was Asr and is Asr. There was never a point that it had Heter. As opposed to the Basar B'Chalav, which was Mutter. At a certain point in history, it was Mutter before it was mixed or cooked with the milk. So perhaps Klei Kerem, yeah, is Asr B'Hano, but not Basar B'Chalav. Omer of Adabar Avazois Ameris. Evidently, we see from here that by Klei HaKerem as well, there was no Shas HaKosher. Why? Klei HaKerem Ikaron Ne'esorin. There was a Shas HaKosher, sorry. That even by Klei HaKerem, there was a point in time that it was Mutter. Why? Because Klei HaKerem Ikaron Ne'esorin. Not only is the addition, the fruit, or whatever that grows in the Kerem is Asur, but the entire plant, the Ikar, the actual plant becomes Asur. The plant, the root, the twigs, everything becomes Asur. And now, we have a Shas HaKosher on the plant. Hoyel v'hoytzelehen Shas HaKosher koydim hashrasha. This seed, for instance, before hashrasha, before it took root, it was mutter. It only became asr after it took root. So hoyel v'hoytzelehen Shas HaKosher koydim hashrasha, since it had a Shas HaKosher before taking root. So even Klei HaKerem had a Shas HaKosher. So that explains the comparison, the parallel to Basar B'Chalav. In both cases, there was a point in time where they were mutter, and then they became asr. So that's how we could equate one to the other. Just like a Klei HaKerem, after it becomes asr. To what extent is it asr? Even with regards to Isra, no. So likewise, Basar B'Chalav, despite the fact that it had a Shas HaKosher, it was mutter before it was mixed with the milk. Right now, once you've created that new entity of Basar B'Chalav, it is asr not only by Achila, but even by no. That's a chiddush, that when you breathe something into a kerem and you plant it, not only does the addition, what grew inside the kerem becomes asr, but everything else, the entire plant, the seed itself becomes asr as well, once it took root in the kerem. Masar v'rashmai, is that the case? That the entire plant, the entire seed becomes asr? We have a Mishnah which says, Hamavir otzit nokuv b'kerem. If a person brings a otzis nukuf, a perforated flower pipe containing, a vegetable. He brings it through a vineyard. So if it's just for a small moment, just for a second, there's no issue. You need to have some additional growth that took place inside the kerem to make this the content of the flower pot asr. Im hoisif masayim asr. If the additional growth of this vegetable in the vineyard equals masayim, a 200th, of the total volume of the plant. So now we have 199 portions of pre-existing plant of heter, which grew outside the vineyard, and a 200th, one portion of 200, that grew inside the kerem. So there's less than 200 times of heter than the isser. Asser, then it's asser, because the only time it would be bottle is if the portion that grew in the kerem, the portion of Isser, is less than a 200th of the total amount. Rashi brings that Truma is bottle and 100. Klei HaKerem, due to the fact that it's Asr Bachil and Hana, the requirement is doubled. So only if you have one portion of Isser versus 200 times that amount of Heter, then it's bottle. But in this case, since you have 1/200th of the total amount, which is Asr, so it's 199 of Heter versus 1 of Isser, in this case, is not enough of Heter to be a battle. So it's Asr. Hoysif in. Yeah, if it got that addition, yeah, it's Asr. Hoysif lay, but if there's no addition, it's Mutter. Now, if you maintain that the entire plant becomes Asr, so why do we need that Hoysafa? As soon as you bring the plant into the Kerem, the plant is now present in the Kerem, begins growing. It automatically connects to the kerem, it creates this kalayim, and it's asr. So who needs that addition? That himself. Amar Rava. So Rava responds as follows. Terei kroi ksivi. There were actually two psukim, which seem to contradict each other. And based on the resolution of those psukim, we'll have a solution to our kasha. Ksiv hazera. On the one hand, the pasuk says that when you bring something in the Kalei Akerem, in the Kalei, in the Kerem, so the Zera becomes Asa. The Pasuk actually says, Leisizra Karmacha Kalei, Pen Tigdash HaMaleya HaZera. So the Maleya, meaning the additional growth, becomes Asur, and Hazera, the actual seed, the original plant, becomes Asur. So on the one hand it says Ksiv Hazera, the actual seed, or Ksiv HaMaleya, what becomes, what gets added, what grows in the Kerem. So which one is it? Is it the growth, or even the original plant and seed? Okay, Tzad, how do we understand this? Zorua Meikarei Ba'ashrasha. If this thing initially is planted in the vineyard, then as long as it's Hashrasha, as long as it takes root, then it becomes us, even the actual seed, everything becomes us. But something has to happen, has to take root. Merely by bringing it through the Kerem, there's no issue. Once it takes root, then the entire thing becomes us. Zerua, but if the item had already been planted to begin with, for instance, it was planted in this flower pot, now it's being brought through the vineyard, hoisif in, loy hoisif loy. Yeah, then if there's an addition, as we said earlier, if there's a portion which is greater than a 200th, in that case, yes, there's Isra loy hoisef loy. If there was no addition, then it's not Asr. So granted, the entire thing becomes Asr, but something has to happen. It has to somehow connect. It has to be a taking of a root here, a Hashrasha. And then the entire thing becomes Asr, or a significant hoisefa and growth. Then you're right, not only the addition becomes Asr, the entire plant, the entire seed, everything becomes Asr. As long as something happened, something significant occurred, a Hashrasha or a Safa. But once that happens, the entire thing becomes Asr. And therefore, Kalei HaKerem certainly had a Shasa Kosher. Because once we determine that the entire plant becomes Asr, that very plant was Mutter, that seed was Mutter at a certain point in time, namely before the Safa occurred, before the Hashrasha occurred. And that explains the early Gemara that we can connect Basar B'chalav, which had a Shasa Kosher, to Kalei HaKerem, which also had a Shasa Kosher. In both cases, there was a point in history when they were Mutter. And despite that leniency, we see that Kalei HaKerem turns into a complete Isser, not only Isser Achila, but also Isser Bahano. And that forms the basis for the Isser Hano by Basar B'chalav as well. So, in conclusion, according to Abaye, although generally speaking, when it comes to your typical Isra Achila and Isra Hana, Malkus will only apply when a person consumes it in a conventional, normal method, normal manner, but Shaloi Kederach Achila or Hana exempts him from Malkus. However, we have two exceptions. One is Kalei HaKerem, one is Basar B'chalav, and the reason in both is because there's no Lashon of Achila mentioned, and Achila indicates normalcy, and Kederach. But if there's no Lashon Achila, then the Malchus applies even if it was ingested or had a Hana. Shaloi Kederach. From where do we know that there's an Issa Achila and Hana by Basar B'chalav? So the Issa Achila is learned from the Gzeira Shava to Treifa, and Hana from El Kav HaChomer based on Orla, Chametz and Pesach, and Kalei HaKerem. Omer Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yechanan, Ba'koy Misrapin. A person may use even something which is asar bahana to heal himself for the sake of refuah. Chutz me'atzei asherah, except for the asherah wood, which cannot supply refuah. Rashi explains, because when a person uses the atzei asherah, nira kemoide ba, it appears like he's being moide. It's like he's worshipping the avodah zarah. Tosis learns, we're speaking that this fellow is using the asherah wood, the Asherah wood which was worshipped, because of its unique qualities, which is present in the Atzei Asherah, Taisa says, like the Shadim that are associated with the Atzei Asherah. So in that case, it can pull a person to this Avodah Zarah. It's Asi Lemiti. It can cause a person to be drawn to it. The Ran learns, the issue here is based on the Pasuk, which says, Lo Yidbak B'chamu Umam and Acherim. A person can't have any connection, any hana from Avodah Zarah related materials. So one can use any Isra hana for the sake of refuah, except for the Atzei Asherah. The Gemara will tell us, even if it involves Pikuach Nefesh. Says Marichi Dami, what are we speaking about? In name of the Ikas Akana. Are we speaking that his life's in danger? Afilo Atzei Asherah Nami. Then even Atzei Asherah can be used. It's Bekuach Nefesh, which overrides any Isser. V'idaleka Sakana. And if we're speaking that his life is not in danger, Afilo Koli Surin Shabbatera Nami Loi. In that case, then any other Isser Hanoh as well should not be allowed to use. Why are you singling out Atzei Asherah? Says the Gemara, La'olam de'ikas sakana, certainly we're speaking that his life's in danger. Even so, Atzei Asherah Eloi, one cannot partake in Atzei Asherah since it involves Avodah Zarah. The Sanya, we learned in the Braisa, that person is meant to be willing to give up his life in order to avoid being over Avodah Zarah. The Sanya, Blazer Omer, the Pasuk says, V'aftos Hashem alekecha, you meant to love Hashem b'chol levavcha, with your entire heart, even the Yetzirah, as the Gemara in Bracha says, with your entire life, your entire being, to give up even your life for the sake of Avas Hashem. You're meant to generate and discover a deeper love for Hashem as your true life and essence, even if it means giving up your physical life, which is just your secondary existence. So Avas Hashem surpasses even that. And even your assets and your money. Now the question is, why does the Pasuk have to speak about Nafshecha and Mo'idecha? Your life and your assets. The Pasuk should say, whichever one's more important, state that one and everything else included. Im Nemar, Blaz Oimer, Im Nemar B'chol Nafshecha. The Pasuk already speaks about B'chol Nafshecha. Lomer Nemar B'chol Mo'idecha. Why speak about your money? If your nefesh is more important, then just say that and everything else included. Im Nemar B'chol Mo'idecha. If the Pasuk speaks about your assets, your money, to give that up for Avas Hashem. So if that's the most important thing, then just leave it at that. Lama nama b'chol nafshecha. Why add b'chol nafshecha? Let the pasuk just say the one that's more important, and everything else is automatically included. Ela loy melcha. However, the pasuk is telling you like this. It depends on the individual. To some people, their life is more important than their money. To others, their money plays more, is more prominent, is more important than their life. So that's why the pasuk covers both bases. Sometimes you have a person whose money, whose guf, is more prominent, more important to him than his money. That's what the pasuk says. You meant to give up even the most important asset, your guf, your life. However, if you have a person whose money is more dear to him than his very guf, so the Torah addresses him as well. That's what the pasuk says. You meant to give up even your money. So the pasuk is covering all possibilities. Avas Hashem is meant to be greater and deeper and surpass your love for the thing that's the most dear and most important to you, the guf or money. This concept will apply not only to Avodah Zarah, but also to other Averus Chamuris, to the three cardinal sins. Ki also Ravin, when Ravin came, he said, Amar Vyechan, he said, name of Yechanan. So we had Rabbi Yaakov in the name of Yechanan regarding Atzei Asherah. When Ravin came, he added the follows in the name of Yechanan. Bakol Misrapin, you can use anything for a four, even Isra Hano, Chutz Mavadah Zorah, Vigili Arayos, Ushvichos Damim. So any Avera, any Isra Hanor can be used for a four, certainly if it involves Sakana. So in that case, you could even use it Kederach Hanor. If it's only a sickness which doesn't involve Sakana, we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, and that can be used Shaloi Kederach. So the Chiddush here is that in any case, even if there's a Sakana, you cannot use something, you cannot employ any of these Averas. Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, or Shvichas Damim. So a person cannot engage in any of these things, even if it's to save his life, to pull him out of a sickness where his life's in danger. Says the Gemara, Avodah Zarah, Hodamar. What comes to Avodah Zarah, as we just said, from the Pasuk of Ahavtos, Shem Lekecha, B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, Moedecha. And Avodah Zarah negates the allegiance and love to Hashem. Gilei Arayos, Shvichas Damim. From where do we know that? The same concept applies to Gilei Arayos. A person can't engage in Arayos even if it's to save his life, or shvichas damim, a person cannot kill somebody, even or to save his own life. The sanya, Rabbi Aimer, this is the pasuk by a nara hamurasa. So a young woman was engaged, and the pasuk says that somebody pursued her for the sake of his nus, and she wasn't at fault. She called out, there was nobody to help her. The pasuk says she's exempt, she's pater, because it was an oinus, was unwilling. And the pasuk says like this, you know why she's pater? Ki kasher yakum ish al re'ehu, ritzach nefesh. Just as if a person gets up al re'ehu and kills him. Kein hadavar zeh. This thing is similar and equated to that. Which would seem that we're drawing a parallel. Just as in that case, the victim is not held accountable, it's not his fault. Likewise here, the Isha, the Nara, the young girl, is not held accountable for what happened. Now, the Kasha is, why do we need to learn from Ritzeach? As Rashi explains that, the Pasuk by Nara Murasa already tells us that she's Pater because the Pasuk says there's nobody to help her. And it's pretty clear that she's Pater. There's nothing we can do. She's not at fault. So why do we need to have to connect? Why do we need that connection from Ritzeach? V'chima inyan Ritzeach etzel Nara Murasa. What's the point of connecting Ritzeach to Nara Murasa? Well, what is it teaching us? Says the Gemara, you're right. Regarding the exemption, the Ptur Oynes of this Nara, that's derived from the Pasuk by Nara itself. The Pasuk says, V'la Nara le'sasa davar. Don't do anything to her. It's not her fault. So Ritzeach is not actually teaching us anything with regards to her Ptur. It appears that the concept of murder is coming to teach us something by Na'ara Hamurasa. But actually it's in the reverse. That the halacha of Na'ara Hamurasa will actually teach something, a halachic chiddush for Ritzeach. So the Ritzeach seems to be lelamed, to come for the sake of teaching something, but actually it's going to learn something from Nara Murasa. In what way? Makish Ritzeach Nara Murasa. The pasuk is connecting murder, Ritzeach, to Nara Murasa. In what way? Ma Nara Hamurasa. Just as the Nara Murasa, Nitan Latzila, you're allowed to save her, B'nafshoi, by killing the nefesh of the one who's pursuing her. But the pasuk says, when she called out, there's nobody to save her, nobody to come to her rescue. Apparently, if there is a way to rescue her, you're meant to do so even at the expense of killing the person who's pursuing her for Avera. There's no other way to save her. You can even kill him. So, Nita Latzila Benafsha, you can save her through killing the nefesh of the pursuer. Afritzeach, likewise, when it comes to Ritzeach, Nita Latzila Benafsha. One is allowed to save the victim by killing the Ritzeach. So this is learned from Nara Murasa to Ritzeach. And we learn something in the other direction as well. V'Nara Hamurasa Meritzeach. Since the Pasuk connects the two concepts. So we learn in both directions. We learn from Nara to Ritzeach, as we just said. And likewise, Nara can learn from Ritzeach. V'Nara Hamurasa Meritzeach. In what way? Just as when it comes to murder, a person must be willing to allow himself to be killed va'al yaver in order to avoid transgressing. For instance, if a person's threatened, well, I'll kill you if you don't kill that person, a person must forego his life to avoid killing somebody. So the Isra of Ritzicha overrides Pikuach Nefesh. Af Nara Murasa. Likewise, Nara Murasa, Tiharg Val Tavar, she should be willing to give up her life to avoid being over the Isser of Gilei Arayos. Now Tosis points out that we're not Geris Tiharg Val Tavar. Actually, the Gemara in Yuma, instead of saying Tiharg, which is referring to the Nara, the girl, the Gemara says Yeharg Val Yavar. So the Oyver Aver, the man, he's forced to do Gilei Arayos, he's meant to give up his life to avoid doing the Isser. Tosfos explains because the Isha is not obligated to give up her life because she's not actually doing a masa. She's not actively involved in the Gilai Reis. Tosfos says karka oilam, it's just like the floor of the ground. So unless she's actively involved, she's not mechuyev to give up her life for the Isser. The man who's actually doing the Isser, he must be willing to give up his life to avoid the Avir. Okay, so in any case, we learn a two-way limud. Pasuk connects Ritzicha to Gilui Arayis. And we learn just by Gilui Arayis, just like by Gilui Arayis, you're meant to save the Isha from the Avira, even at the expense of killing the pursuer. Likewise, Ritzicha. You can go ahead and save the victim by killing the Ritzeach. And just as Ritzeach, we are certain that a person is meant to give up his life in order to avoid Ritzicha. Ritzicha overrides. It's more important than Pikuach Nefesh. Likewise, when it comes to Gilui Arayis, a person is meant to give up his life to avoid the Avir. Now, how do we know? You're assuming it as a for granted that Ritzicha overrides Pikuach Nefesh. Ushvichas Domim, Gufei Minolam. How do we know when it comes to Shvichas Domim, a person is meant to give up his life to avoid the Avir? Svaru! It's common sense. Kehuda Asal Kamei Rava. Just as in the case, in the incident where a person approached Rava with a Shaila. Amarli told him, I have a problem. Mari Duroy, the master of my town, Amarli, he threatened me like this. Zil Katle Laplanya. Go kill Shimon. Viloy, if you don't comply, Katlina Loch, I'm going to kill you. So he asked Rava, what should I do? I'm being threatened. Should I do the Ritzicha to save my life? Is Pukach Nefesh more important than the Avir? Amarli, so Rava responded, no. Lik Teluch, let him kill you. Veloy Siktal, you don't kill. Why? Well, what are you thinking? Well, Pikuach Nefesh is more important than the Avera. Well, that's true in your typical scenario. Yeah, the Torah wants the Nefesh Mistral to be saved, even at the expense of an Avera. But in this case, it's different. In this case, it's very different because this is an Avera which involves killing a Yid. So, at any rate, a nefesh misro will be lost. It's not like pikuach nefesh here will override the avir. A nefesh will be killed. It's just a question of your nefesh or Shimon's nefesh. Who says your life is more important? My chazis, what makes you think the dama the dach sumaktvei that your blood is redder than your friends and more important and plays a more significant role in Hashem's world? Dilma Dama Dahu Gavra Sumaktve. Perhaps the blood of that person is redder than yours. And that life is meant to be preserved. So since in this case, at any rate, is going to be a nefesh lost, who says your nefesh is more important? Therefore, there's no justification for killing. So allow yourself to be killed rather than do Shvichas Dama and kill your friend. Mabra Avashi Ashkechel Ravina. Mabra Avashi noticed Ravina, the Shayef La Librate, he was smearing on his daughter who was ill. He was using Bikuharki de Arla, using the unripe olives of Arla, which are Asabahana, and he was having an off from it. He was using it for a fool. Amarle, so Maravashi told him, Amor de Amar Rabbanon Bishasa Sakana. Yeah, when did the Rabban allow? Using Isurana in a time of danger. When a person's life is endangered, shleibish as sakana mi'amr. But if it doesn't involve sakana, how can you use it? And you're not a case of sakana. Amr lay, so he told him, no. Hi ishta, tzmirta this ishta, this fire, tzmirta this fever, nami, is also kishasa sakana damya, is considered shasa sakana. Her life's in danger. And that's how I'm using the isra hano for her refuah. So as long as it doesn't involve the three Averis, Chamurais, Aved Zara, Gilai Reis, Shvichas Damim, I can use something even of Arla, which is Asur Bahano, for the sake of Refuah. Igad Amri is another version of his response, which was, the question was, how can you use this Isur Hano? It doesn't involve Sakana. So he told him, Amalei, Midi Derech Hano Kavidno? Am I doing it, am I using it in the conventional manner, in a normal way of consuming it, of having Hano? These olives are unripe. At this point, this is not the normal way of consuming them. You're meant to let it ripen and press it in the olive press. So this is considered to be an abnormal manner of having ano, and therefore it can be used even if the refuah is not in a life-threatening context. Even if it's a choli she'en b'sakana, I can use something which is also b'ano, as long as it's shaloi k'derech ano, because shaloi k'derech ano is only midrabbanan, and they allow it to be used in a situation of refuah, even if his life is not in danger. Okay, so in conclusion we learned that the general rule when it comes to isur ano is that if a person partakes shaloi k'derech in an abnormal manner, malchus will not be applied, except for basa b'chalav and klei akerim. But when it comes to other isurim, if it's shaloi k'derech, he's pata for malchus, but midrabbanan it would still be asur. So what about using isur ano for the sake of refuah? It depends. If we're dealing with a chole she'en b'sakana, whose life is not in danger, then using the isur ano k'derech would be asur. But shaloi k'derech would be mutar. If we're speaking about a chole she'yesh b'sakana, so life is in danger, in that case, if he needs to, he can partake in the isur ano, even k'derech, because p'koch nefesh overrides the isurim, except for three isurim, which is avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shfichas dam. Continues the Gemara, itma we learned, hana'a haba'a lo'il adam ba'al karchoi. Person is experiencing an unwilling hana. He's walking through the street and he detects a pleasant aroma wafting through the air originating from avodah zarah. So he's experiencing the hana, but it's ba'al karcha. He wasn't seeking the hana. Abaye Omar muteres. Abaye says it's muter, he doesn't have to run away. Varava of Omar Asura, Rava says the hana is asur, he has to get away from the scene. So what is the context of this discussion? Efshar, now if he has an easy way out, is an easy alternative, he could just get away easily. Vikamachavan, and he also happens to have kavana. He intends on having the hana from this isser. So when both of these elements are present, on the one hand, he has an easy way out. And number two, mentally, he's connected, he's intending on having the kavana. So since both negative elements are here, certainly all would agree that it's us. Likewise, lo yafshar v'kamachavin, if he has no easy route out, v'kamachavin, but he has kavana to have hana'a, kuli amu le'pligin de asa, all would agree, Abaye and Rava both agree that it's asa. So there's no discussion, there's no machlekes in that case. Likewise, lo yafshar v'lo yamachavin, if we have two positive elements here, lo yafshar, there's no easy way to get out of the area. V'loim chavin, in addition to that, he has no kavan, he has no intent on having hana. So since both favorable elements are there, kuli amu le'pligi, the shari, all would agree, Abai v'Rava both agree that it's mutter. So when is the machlekes? In a very specific case, ki pligi, the machlekes is the efsha. If there's an easy alternative, he has an easy way to get out of the area. V'loy mechaven. However, he has no kavana to have hana. He doesn't want it. He doesn't need it. Now, v'aliyah with Rabbi Yehuda de Amar, dovar sheni meskaven aser. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that generally speaking, if a person engages in an activity without kavana, it's still aser. For instance, a malacha, an iser. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even if there's no kavana, it's still aser, because at the end of the day, he's doing something iser. So according to him, all would agree, Abaye and Rava both agree that it's asr. So in this case, despite the fact that he has no kavana, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, kavana is not reckoned with. The bottom line is, he's standing there and he has a way to get out of the area. It's efshar. So although he's loy machaven, that's not a reason to be mati. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it certainly would be asr. Ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Shimon. The machlokes between Abaye and Rava is in line with Shita's Rav Shimon. The Omar Dovar Shein Miskaven Mut. He says that if a person is experiencing an incidental hana or engaged in a malacha but without kavana, it's mutter. Lack of intent mitigates the entire concern. So that forms the basis of our discussion. We're speaking again that he's experiencing hana bal karcha. He's not pursuing the hana. He's not seeking the hana. But efshar, he has a easy and convenient route to get away from there. But, like mechaven, he has no intention of having that not. And according to Rav Shimon, generally speaking, a dover she'in meskaven is mutter. What is the halacha here? Abaye Rav Shimon. Abaye says, look, Rav Shimon is matir. There's no kavana. There's no intent. It's mutter. Despite the fact that Efsher, he can, if he wishes to, he can get away from here. Since there's no kavana, it's irrelevant. V'rava Amar, Rava says, look, Ad kan leko Amar Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon only allows. Elahecha delay Efsher. If he has no way out, if he has no easy way out, if he has no easy alternative, yeah. And the fact that he has no kavana exempts him and is matter. But if it's Efsher, just turn around and go away. Then in that case, even Rav Shimon would not allow. So according to this version of the Gemara, we're speaking about a case where he has no kavana to have the anah, but Efsher, he has an easy way out. Tosfos says, Bekal, he can get away from the area, from the scene easily. So according to Abaye, it's a lack of kavana that determines. And according to Rav Shimon, it's mutter. Rava says, both factors are needed. Both elements. Both favorable elements join together to make it mutter. Lack of kavana, on the one hand, but also has to be something which is loy efshar. He has no easy way to get it, to avoid the situation. As opposed to this case, where it's efshar, and even according to Rav Shimon, it would be awesome. So we're speaking about efshar, or loy kamachavan, in accordance with Rav Shimon. Abaye says mutter, Rava says also. Iga da amri. There's a second version of the machlekes here, which holds differently. Efsher v'loy machaven, in this most recent case, where it was efsher to get away, but loy machaven, haynu pluktayu to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. Yeah, this is the very machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. All agree, even Abaye and Rava, both agree that according to Rabbi Shimon would be mutter. Why? Because there's no kavana. Despite the fact that it's efsher, he has a way to disappear from the scene, it's okay, because lack of kavana removes this. So according to the second approach here, there's no machlokes in this case of lay machaven. According to Rav Shimon, certainly it's mutter. Lo yavshar v'loy kamachaven. If he had no way, no easy way to get away from the scene, v'loy kamachaven, and he has no kavana to have the hana, so we have two favorable elements. Kuli alma le pligi the shari. According to all shitas, it's mutter. Ki pligi. When then is the machlekes between Rav and Abaye? The lo yavshar v'kamachaven. Lo yavshari. He can't easily free himself of the situation. V'kamachaven. However, once I'm here, he has ano. He has kavanah tavano. Now, let's analyze further. Vali with Rav Shimon. According to Rav Shimon, the ozel basar kavanah, who follows the kavana determinant, he says that kavana is what decides matters. That's why lack of kavana is mutter. So according to Rav Shimon, kavana, the kavana factor plays an important role. It's a prime determinant. So according to him, in this case, where although it's le'efshar, he has no easy way to avoid the situation, but kamachavan, he's having kavana. So according to Rav Shimon, of course it's asr. Kuli amalei pligi da asr. Whether Abaye or Rava, both agree that according to Rav Shimon, it's asr because kavana is what sets the tone according to Rav Shimon, right? According to Rav Shimon, lack of kavana exempts, right? It makes it mutter. So when he has kavana, certainly that would make it asr. That would form the basis for isr. So despite the fact that he has no easy way to avoid the situation, why is that? Why are you having kavana? Kavana connects you to it. So according to Rav Shimon, it's asr. Ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Machlokes between Abaye and Rava is based on Rabbi Yehuda's shita. So in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, we have a question. Rabbi Yehuda says that even if a person has no kavana, it's still awesome. Rabbi Yehuda says the Omar lo yishno miskaven v'lo yishno she'ein miskaven. Whether or not he has kavana, what is halacha? Efshar, awesome. If he has a way to avoid the situation, it's awesome. Right, that was the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if there's no kavana, but if you have a way to avoid it, it's asr. Lack of kavana does not remove the isr. So perhaps it would seem that according to Rabbi Yehuda, what is the prime determinant? What is the only determinant? Whether or not you can avoid the isr. So if you can avoid, it's efshar. It's asr, even if there's no kavana. Likewise, says Abaye. In our case, where it's lo yavshar, So you don't have the efshar factor here. It's unavoidable. According to Rabbi Yehuda, efshar is what determines. So if it's lo efshar, it's mutter. Even if he has kavana, who cares about kavana? According to Rabbi Yehuda, kavana is not reckoned with. Abayik Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, Abayik says it's mutter. He says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I'm following Rabbi Yehuda, and kavana, who cares about intent? Whoever's discussed intent. That's not a factor to reckon with. The only factor to reckon with is whether or not you can avoid the situation easily. So just as the reader says, if it's efshar, if you can avoid it easily, it's asur, even if it's loy mechaven, even if you have no intent to receive that hana, because who cares about intent? If it's efshar, it's asur. So on the flip side as well, says Abaye, if it's loy efshar, if he has no easy way to avoid it, it's mutter. Even if he has kavana, because kavana is not something to be reckoned with. That's Abaye's approach according to Rabbi Yehuda. So again, we're speaking about loy efshar, become a chavan. Says Abaye, if it's loy efshar, it's potter. V'rava amar lach, Rava says like this, no, not so fast. You're right. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's efshar, it's asr. Even if there's no kavana. Efshar v'lokim machaven is asr. Dov Hashem is kavan is asr. Adkan l'karam Rabbi Yehuda. When do we find Rabbi Yehuda says the isr she'ein miskavan ki miskavan? Yeah, even when there's no kavana, it's like kavana. Meaning, if it's efshar, if you can avoid the situation, even though he has no kavana, we ignore that mitigating factor. We treat it as though there's kavana because as long as it's efshar, you can avoid it, that forms the basis for isr. That single factor is sufficient to make isr. So we deal with an ein miskaven, a zotz miskaven. We ignore the fact that there's a lack of kavana. The factor of efshar is sufficient to make it asr. Ela l'chumra. That's only when it results in a chumra. In that case, he says, let's ignore the fact that there's no kavana. Let's focus on the fact that it's efshar. That's enough. That's sufficient to make isr. Aval, but on the flip side, to say miskaven k'she'ein miskaven l'kula. But to say that in a case where it's lo yefshar, it's unavoidable. But there's miskaven here. We have a negative factor playing here. To take it to that extent and say that despite the fact that it's miskaven, let's deal with it like she'ein miskaven. Let's ignore the kavana. Because the only thing that determines, the only thing that sets the tone is efshar. So if it's lo yefshar, it's mutter, even if there's a kavana, no. L'kula lo yama. To say that miskaven is like a miskaven, just ignore the kavana and result in a kula, who says? What do you find that Rabbi Yehuda would agree to that? Perhaps there are both factors playing in contra Rabbi Yehuda. Either or would make it asr. If it's efshar, it's asr, even if there's no kavana. And likewise, if there's kavana, it's asr, even if it's lay efshar. So according to this approach in the Gemara, the machlokes applies to a case where it's lay efshar, but there's kavana. And we're following Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. Abaye says, kavana? It's irrelevant, according to Rabbi Yehuda. As long as it's loy efshar, it's potter. Because that's the only determinant. Efshar or loy efshar. So in this case, if it's loy efshar, it's potter. According to Rava, either or would make it asr. Efshar is asr, even if there's a lack of kavana. And likewise, if there's kavana, even in the case of loy efshar. So in summary, when a person is experiencing hana ba'al karcha, Abaye says it's muta, Rabbi says it's asr. Version 1 of the Gemara is, we're speaking about a case where it's efshar, can easily avoid the situation, but he has no kavana. We're following Rav Shimon Shita, who says lack of kavana is mutter. Says Abaye, it's mutter. Rabbi says, yeah, but that's only when it's lay efshar. But in this case, we can easily avoid the isr, even according to Rav Shimon, it would be asr, because two factors are needed to make it mutter. Loy mechaven and lay efshar. According to version 2 in the Gemara, we're discussing Rabbi Yehuda Shita. We're speaking about a case where loy efshar, he can't easily avoid the isr, and he has kavan. Abaye says it's mutter, because as long as it's loy efshar, that's okay. Rava says, Rabbi Yehuda applies the isr to one of two cases, either when it's efshar, even with lack of kavana, and likewise in the case of kavana, even if it's loy efshar, as long as there's one factor in the negative, that is sufficient to make it us. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We began with a discussion of hana shaloi kederach. A person enjoys isra hana in a non-conventional manner is potter. Says Abaye, we have two exceptions. Basa b'chalav and kalaya kerem. because the Torah doesn't use the word achila there. And therefore, any form of hanoah would entail malchus. We discussed that when it comes to Kalei HaKerem, if there's a haysafa, significant addition of growth in the plant while it's in the kerem, it's asr. And not only the additional part becomes asr, but the entire plant and the seed becomes asr as well. We learned that when it comes to Yisur HaNoah, HaNoah Kederach is asr Natura, Shaloi Kederach is asr Midrabanan. Therefore, when it's a Cholosh Embe Sakana, he can partake in the Yisur HaNoah Shaloi Kederach. If it's Yesh Be Sakana, that's Bekoach Nefesh, and it overrides any Yisur, even Yisur HaNoah, of partaking in the Yisur HaNoah Kederach HaNoah. That applies to all Yisurim except for three, Avedah Zarah, Gilui Reis, Shrichas Damim. We concluded the case of HaNoah Ba'al Karchai, Machlokes, Abaye, and Rabbah.